Good evening. Good evening. Is everyone okay? Good. My name is Mark Ritchie, and I am Scottish, just in case you were wondering. Yeah? I was in Canada, and I was speaking, and somebody shouted out from the crowd, "Are you the guy that does the voice for Shrek?" Right? And I was just about to deal with that when somebody from the other side shouted out, "No, he's the guy that looks like Shrek." And that's far too harsh, and you shouldn't have laughed at that. But a lot of you are going, "Yeah, in that light, you do look a bit like Shrek." But it's great to be here, and I am excited about being here. My name's Mark. I've got my wife here. I've got my kids here. I've even got my mother-in-law here. Yeah, and I've got a little mother-in-law gag a little bit later, yeah? That's just spoiled the whole night for her, so that's good. And basically, I live in Nottingham, and I don't know if anyone here loves curry. I love curry. Anyone a big curry fan? Yeah? Curry is amazing. One of the best signs I have ever seen was outside a curry house, and in big writing it said this: "Come in and try our curry, you will never get better." And they've not thought that through, have they? They've not fully thought that sign through. Though, if we're honest, we've all had a curry like that, haven't we? I'm just remembering a few now that were just a little bit. Yeah, I love curry, and I also love football. I don't know if anybody else here loves football. I live in Nottingham, and I'm a bit... Oh, I think Brighton won yesterday, didn't they? Yeah. You beat Barnsley 5-1. 5-1. I said, wow, people getting quite excited by that. A little bit overexcited, if you don't mind me saying. So, live in Nottingham, and I love Nottingham Forest. I'm a big fan, and it's incredible. But my friend, who's a minister, he is a Bolton fan, and he's a minister, he's a father, he's a husband. He phoned me up and said that he'd got two tickets to see Bolton versus Chelsea. So I was like, wow, I'd love to come and see that. So we came, there it was, Bolton. My minister friend is next to me. And basically what happens is, in the first half, Bolton score. It's Bolton 1, Chelsea 0. My friend Derek, he's a minister, he gets up, he is rejoicing, he is so happy. And then, with 2 minutes left of the game, now we were sitting quite close to the Chelsea fans, there was a bit of a fence, and then there was the Chelsea fans. With 2 minutes left, Chelsea equalise. Oh no, Bolton won, Chelsea won. My friend Derek, I could feel him smouldering, yeah? He was so angry that we'd thrown this points away. And then in the last seconds of the game, Chelsea score the winner. Bolton won, Chelsea 2. My friend Derek gets up. I think, oh no, this is bad. He's angry. He was really angry. He looks over at the Chelsea fans and he got a look on his face that was not a good look, yeah? I could tell something bad was going to happen. He starts running towards the fence. I'm running alongside him going, "Derek, remember you're a minister, yeah? Remember you're a father, yeah? You're a husband." As I'm running along, Derek gets up against the fence. The Chelsea fans are going crazy. They're winning. They're going to win the game. And my friend Derek's so angry. And he just points at them. And I'll never forget what he said. He went, I hope you get stuck in traffic. And I thought, wow, what a great Christian response, yeah? It's like, I want mild inconvenience for your life, but nothing really that bad, yeah? It was like, you know, I don't want something terrible to happen to you, but I do want you stuck on the M6. And I thought, wow, that's kind of cool. And so, I'm Scottish, I love football, I love curry, and I just feel like I've got to kind of explain about this cross. Some of you are looking at it, and you're thinking, wow, what is that? Well, this cross is going to be coming with me. I'm actually setting off tomorrow morning from Brighton Pier, and I'm going to be walking 700 miles with this cross on my back. I'm going to be walking for 70 days. Don't worry, I'm not asking you to come, yeah? I can see people going, no. Yeah, we're going to walk from Brighton up to Edinburgh, and then we're going to walk from Wrexham across to Hull. It's going to be quite a long walk, so, you know, this cross is going to become like a bit of a friend for me. I'm just looking forward to walking into Tesco's with a cross on my back, yeah? And asking for a pie, and obviously not for the cross, but for me, yeah? And I was in Wigan recently, and I love this, and I'm not knocking people from Wigan. I don't think there's anyone here from Wigan. Yeah, they don't get out much. And basically, I was in Wigan, and I love this. I saw a lady in front of me, and she bought some Slim Fast. That's fine. She went up, and she says, can I have the Slim Fast, please? And the little young lad behind the counter says, oh, that's great. There's a deal on with that. You can get Slim Fast, and you get a free pie. And I thought, that's an interesting deal, isn't it? Yeah? Kind of counterbalance. That's good, yeah. Have a lot of Slim Fast, and then a reward of a pie, yeah? I like that. It's good. It's really cool. I don't know how everyone's doing. I don't know if people enjoyed the Olympics. Did people get into the Olympics, yeah? Wow, I really got into them. I was watching sports. I have no idea. Yeah, I was watching taekwondo. I didn't know what people got points for. I stopped watching the fighters and just watched the score. Yeah, it was like, I don't know what's happening. But my friend Tara, she got tickets for the volleyball. And I love this. She went down with her husband to see the volleyball. And she got met by all the games makers. Did you see the game? The volunteers. And they were all dressed in those uniforms that made them look like they worked for Sainsbury's, yeah? And did you see them? And basically, she went up to this lady, and the lady was really close, and she says, excuse me, but we're going to the volleyball. Which exit do we take? And before she got the last word out of her head, this woman from nowhere pulled out a megaphone and right next to Tara and said, if you're looking for the exit for the volleyball, it is over to the left. Can you imagine being married to that lady, yeah? Just having a nice romantic meal and she suddenly pulls out the megaphone. If you would like a kiss, then it's over in the designated area. It's like, wow. I thought, wow, I've been doing a lot of training because I've been carrying the cross and I'm going to have to get fit for that. And I'm kind of being vulnerable with you guys because it's like the first one. But the other week there, because I'd been walking for 25 miles, I got a little bit of chafing, and I had to like speak to my wife and say, there were a few people around. I said, oh, Tamsin, you know, I've got a bit of chafing. You need to get me some Vaseline. Imagine if she'd been that lady with a megaphone. If you have got a problem with chafing and need to have Vaseline, go to the designated area. Put the megaphone away. So don't worry. Hopefully the megaphone lady's not here tonight, but I can see that there's one or two that maybe just can go under the table and say, if you're Scottish and you're making jokes about Vaseline, get off the stage. But I'm wanting to chat to you. I actually went to Bible college. I went to Bible college. Now, I know there's not maybe a lot of people went to Bible college. When I was 21, I went to Bible college. Now, I was quite a messy guy. I don't know if there are people here that are really, really tidy, but I shared the room. My brother was really tidy, and I was really messy. I, like, kind of loved throwing my stuff around, and, you know, when it got time for Bible college, my mum tried to tell me, Mark, you're going to Bible college now, so you're going to have your own room. You need to kind of be tidy. And I went to Bible college, and the one thing that I wanted to take to Bible college with me is I had got, since I was 15, I had got a Postman Pat duvet. Do you remember Postman Pat? Yeah? Postman Pat duvet. I says, Mom, I want to take my Postman Pat duvet to Bible college. She's like, Mark, you can't do that. People are going to be talking about the Bible, and you're going to have Postman Pat and his black and white cat. I was like, no, I want it. I want my Postman Pat duvet. So I took my Postman Pat duvet. And basically, my room was an absolute tip at Bible college. It was really messy. I remember I'd learnt this little rule about my socks. I took my socks off, and I threw them against the wall. And if they stuck, You don't wear them again, yeah? That was a little rule. If they fall to the ground, they've got another week in them, yeah? And so it's kind of like, you know, a little bit messy, and I had like lots of stuff on the floor, and it was all really good. Now, every single morning in Bible college, they do the same. Oh, lovely little laughter there. Little kids, nice to see you. And basically what happens in Bible college is every morning there's like a preacher, but it's a speaker, but they're all students, and none of them have ever spoke before. So like every morning, Monday to Friday, we have a few songs, like we had one earlier, and then there's these guys, and some of them, these speakers are terrible. I mean, like they get up and they're really nervous. I remember one guy just got up and just like looked at everyone and just went, I can't do it, and just went off again. It was fantastic. It was the best talk I've ever heard. And it was like amazing. And some of them were really good, but some of them were terrible. I remember this one young guy, he just like learning to speak and he was quite nervous. And he was talking about Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And he was talking about that, Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And he kind of, in a squeaky voice, he kind of went, you must realize the significance of this. So everyone's like, oh, wow. He goes, to the Jews, the feet are the lowest point of the body. We're like, isn't that true about everyone, yeah? It's like, you know, I am a Gentile, for my feet are up here, yeah? It's like, hello. Some of them were terrible. Remember one guy was speaking on Jonah, you know, and the whale swallowing Jonah. And he was really going for it, this guy. He was really kind of speaking passionately. And he went, and Jonah got swallowed by a whale, and the whale vomited Jonah up. And everyone's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. He went, praise God, because how many of you know that the whale could have got rid of Jonah a different way? We're like, oh, whoa, 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 time out. What is that? It's like, come on. Some of these speakers were terrible. But you know, there was one day that I'll never, ever forget. Because they had a special guest that day. It wasn't one of the students. It was a special. He was an Australian. And he was given the same 15 minutes that everyone else was given. And they invited this man to the podium. And he came. And he began to talk about Moses. And he began to speak about God and the holiness of God. He began to talk about God being this really holy, awesome God. And I want to tell you that I've never experienced it before, but in the room, the place went silent. As he began to talk about like the holiness of God, the incredible wonder and awe of Father God, the room went completely silent. A young guy burst into tears. A few young people started getting up and came to the front and fell on their knees. After 15 minutes, he stepped back and turned to our principal and said, my time, that's it, 15 minutes. The principal says, no, you must keep speaking. You must keep speaking. God is here. He began to talk about how God is no flaw in him and how God is this holy, wonderful, beautiful God. The place was absolutely electric. People were crying. People were just holding their hearts because it was such a beautiful moment. He spoke for an hour and nobody wanted to move. It was incredible. And after an hour, he went back to his seat. And our principal, he got up and he said these words. He says, you know, we're not going to go to our normal studies because it would be inappropriate. But let's go back to our rooms and let's sit and find God. All of the students, we went back to our rooms. I'll never forget it. I went back to my room and in that room I was praying and I'd never experienced God like this before. In a couple of minutes, I heard a knock at the door. I came to the door. And I expected it to be one of the students, but when I came to the door, who should be at the door but this Australian? This man who had been preaching a few minutes ago in the chapel, and there he was at my door. He said that God had spoken to him and that God wanted him to give me a message. He says, I would like to come into your room.
Now you need to remember, I'm standing at the door. I know that behind me, yeah, there are socks sticking to the wall, yeah? I've got my postman Pat duvet, yeah? I've got my pants on the floor. I'm thinking, oh, no, this is bad. I says, no, let's go to the common room. He says, no, I'd like to come into your room. And he stepped forward. I had to kind of let him in. And as he came in, I could see this lovely man looking around, looking at the socks on the wall, seeing the pants in the lampshade. Yeah. I went to offer him to sit in my seat, but my seat was piled up with that stuff. So I had to ask him to sit on my duvet, my postman Pat duvet, yeah? I'll never forget, because he sat on Jess. And there he was, he sat. I felt so embarrassed. I felt so ashamed. Here's this great man of God. He's in a suit. He'd got a shirt and tie on. He'd even got a waistcoat on. I said, wow. Yeah, this man is like, you know, he's been speaking great words of God. Now he's in the room, and my stuff's all sitting there and swinging in the lampshade. Socks, I'm trying to get the socks off the wall. And then he began to pray. He put his hand on my shoulder, and he began to speak. And right there, in my room, God met me. God met me in my mess. God met me in my shame, in my embarrassment, in all of my scruffy living. God met me right there. You see, what I wanted to communicate with us today, guys, is simply this, is that God meets us in our mess. See, lots of people want to get cleaned up for God. They want to kind of put on their Sunday best to appear before God and say, "Tarang, I'm doing my best. Look, God, I've got my Sunday best on." But the truth is that God meets us in our mess. Maybe tonight you're here and you're feeling that your life's a little bit scruffy. Maybe things are not all in the place that you would like them to be. Maybe things are a little bit awkward and there's relationship struggles, and maybe life is a bit messy for you. Maybe it's a little bit rubbish for you. And here we are in this wonderful church with this cross, and we think, how can I even connect with a God when I am untidy and things are not in a good order? And actually God comes to you and says, I want to come and meet you in your mess. See, we've all got mess. If we stopped now and just said, we're going to have a few moments where people are going to come and confess on the microphone how messy their life is. All the Olympics, we've been putting awards around people's necks because that's us celebrating their greatness. But imagine tonight if we decided to celebrate our mess, the stuff that we get wrong, the bits and the pieces that are not that good. My kids are here today, Jordan and Kezia. And I don't think I'm like one of those embarrassing dads. You know, you've got embarrassing dads who dance at the weddings and they're like, oh, dad, please. I don't think I'm too embarrassing, though I guess walking with a cross up England is not the coolest thing in the world. But putting that aside, I think I'm pretty normal. But there is one thing I do that embarrasses my kids. I've always been like it. You know when people throw stuff at the window and just chuck stuff on the ground? There's something inside me. I don't like that. We were at McDonald's once and we were kind of sitting in the car eating our stuff, and the car next to us had a couple of young teenagers who were acting all cool, and, you know, he kind of did the window down, and he just, that was good, wasn't it? And he just got his burger bag and his cup, and he just dropped them out of the window onto the ground. Now, I did a little dance there for you, yeah? There's something about that. I'm not a fan of that. I don't like that. My kids saw it, and they're like, Dad, leave it, Dad, leave it. Yeah, then this young guy with his cool car, and he's, and I'm like, leave it. And I go, oh,
couldn't leave it. I didn't want to embarrass them. I got out the car and I went over and I went, "Oh, shall I get that?" And I picked the stuff up and went to the bin and made a big drama. "I'm putting your stuff in the bin, yeah?" And thanks. I came back in the car and my kid's like, "Oh, Dad, you're so embarrassing." But you know, I wanted to tell you about mess, because I wanted to be honest with you tonight. I didn't want you to come Scottish guy at the front and everything's sorted, because I've got my own mess. Because something happened that I'm a little bit ashamed of. I didn't know whether to put this bit in, but I've decided I'm going to do it. I have to do it. A couple of years ago, you see, I've spent a lot of my life encouraging young people and telling them they're great and wanting to see them be the best that they can be. But a couple of years ago, something happened. I was walking in Nottingham, and three young lads were coming towards me. Two of them were on the outside, and in the middle, there was a young lad, and I tell you this for a reason, who was quite a weighty chap. He'd got a little bit of weight. He's about 14, and he was on his bike in the middle, and he'd got a crisp packet, and he'd got a can. And just as I was kind of coming towards him, he'd finished with his can and his crisp packet, and he just threw it on the ground. Well, I've already told you that that's something I can't stand. And I saw the stuff land onto the ground, and I exploded. I just exploded. I went, "Oh, lads, what have you done that for? What have you done that for?" These lads look at me and kind of just start to move away. And I'm angry. I don't want them just to move away. I want them to pick it up, but they're not going to pick it up. And so I'm not proud of what I did next. I went, "Oh, lads, shall I get it for you? Shall I pick it up and put it in the bin?" They turned around and looked at me as if to say, "What's your problem, old man? Get on with it. Well, don't give us hassle." They just looked at that kind of way that teenage lads can look, as if to say, "You are but a worm under my feet, yeah?" And I looking at the stuff on the floor, and I was so angry that I like went down and I picked up the crisp packet and I picked up the can. And I went, "Oh, I'll get it. I'll get it. I'll put it in the bin." And I turned to the lad in the middle, the young, weighty chap on the bike. And I says, "Oh, I'll get it, because I wouldn't want you to exercise. I wouldn't want you to kind of do anything that'll, like, make you fit." And then I looked at him and I says, "Oh, you're a fat." And I called him a few names. And then I walked on and I put the stuff in the bin. And I walked home. These three young lads were completely stunned. They never swore at me. They never said anything. They just, wow. And they just went on. And I walked. And at first I was fully justified in my head. They shouldn't have chucked the rubbish on the floor. Mark, you did the right thing. And then I started to realize that actually they threw their rubbish on the floor. But I had thrown my rubbish on the floor. I had thrown my mess. My anger. My sarcasm. Basically, I had verbally abused that kid for no reason. He was completely stunned. He didn't know where it had come from. But obviously, inside here, there was some kind of unresolved mess. And I'd thrown my mess onto the ground. You see, the truth is, guys, we've all got mess. We've all got our own stuff. We tried to compare it. I was walking thinking, yeah, well, they threw stuff on the ground. And I felt my heart say to me, but Mark, what you did was worse, because like you, your words, your anger, your mess, it leaked out, it came out, it was horrible. And that's only one thing. Imagine if I'd kind of taken a couple more minutes to talk about some of my other mess. Imagine if I talked about some of my jealousy or my envy. How awkward it would be tonight if we were all sitting here and the Scottish guy started to talk about like he's lost and how rubbish and garbage all that is and how messed up his mind can sometimes be and just the mess of our lives. See, we've all got mess. We try our best to contain it. We try to hide it. We try to put on a face that's, we're cool, everything's good. But all of us know that we've all got our stuff. We've all got our issue. Growing up as a young lad, my mum, lovely, lovely lady, yeah? Scottish, lovely lady. Every summer, we'd be like, hey, Dad, Mum, every summer she goes missing. Where's she gone? My dad would say, aye, your mum's swimming round the loch and some Americans are taking pictures of her. And you'll get that in a minute. Yeah, it takes a while. Yeah, I love those, the wave. Oh, Loch Ness. some people just got it now, see? And but my mum, oh, I'll never forget this, trying to contain our mess. I remember our family, we were in the middle of a big argument. Some of you are going to know what I'm talking about because your mums were exactly the same. Our family were really arguing. My dad was shouting, my brother was shouting, I was shouting, my sister. It was like Third World War. We were all screaming at each other. It was ugly. My mum's screaming. And then in the mix of all the arguing and the shouting, the phone rings. And it's like, rah, rah, rah. And then my mum grabs the phone and she goes, hello, the Richies. A minute ago, she'd be like, ah, ah, ah. Hello, the Richies. It's like everything's fine. And it's like you see people, don't they? They're all screaming at each other in the car. Do that again. And then you open the door and they're like, hi, we're a lovely family. Yeah? Our children love us. Yeah? I read a book. This American guy's written a book about how he takes his son, to different conferences. He's a speaker, and he takes his son, and how his son sits on the front row. It was an American book, and his son sits on the front row and applauds his dad. He says, Dad, you're amazing. How his son carries his bag. I read this book, I thought, wow, I'm going to do that. My son, 15, Jordan. It's going to be great. I says, Jordan, you're going to come to the next conference with me. We turned up at this conference, sat in the front row. I spoke. It went really well. And at the end, they took me into a side room. And there was all these leaders sitting in the side room. And Jordan was behind me. We came in. And as I came in the room, the whole room applauded. They were all clapping. I turned around. I could see my son, Jordan. He wasn't applauding. Jordan wasn't clapping. He was rolling his eyes, yeah? It's just my dad. We sat down. Everyone's talking, asking me questions. And I saw a little table with tea and coffee at the side. And I just leaned over to Jordan and I just says, hey, son, how about you just jump up and get your dad a coffee? And he leaned forward and went, how about you just get it yourself? Well, the room, have you ever been in a room where it's a synchronized buttock clench, yeah? It was like, ah! About 50 people jumped up, I'll get you the coffee, huh? I was like, great, yeah? Sometimes we try to hide our mess. We don't want people to see that stuff. We want people to think that we're all perfect and great. And even tonight, you've come in here and you look good on the outside. Things are great. But every one of us, we know that we've got mess on the inside. Got mess on the inside. My mother-in-law's here tonight. She's a lovely lady. She's from Sutton, which isn't too far away from here. She's got a son-in-law, me, that's Scottish. She thinks I'm a little bit uncouth. Yeah, she does. And it's true, I am. And every Christmas, Wendy's come and she used to bring her dog. The dog was lovely, yeah? And one day, this dog that she used to bring at Christmas, the dog, I was sitting in the living room watching the telly. My mother-in-law, Wendy's there. And my wife goes into the bedroom, and the dog has done a wee on our bed. It's jumped up on the bed and done a wee. Tamsin comes through to the living room, and she goes, Mom, your dog's done a wee on the bed. And Wendy says, oh, are you sure? Are you sure it wasn't Mark? Are you sure it wasn't Mark? I know I'm Scottish, but you know, I can't be bothered with all that toilet business. Flushing. Oh, not for me. It's not for me. See, we've all got like our garbage. We've all got our mess. We've all got our stuff. And
I was working a few years ago, helping a youth event, and I was working in the kitchens. I've not really done that too much, but I was helping. And it was kind of like the slops at the end. And I don't know if I can paint this picture well enough for you, but these bin bags, big black bin bags, were full of all the unwanted stuff, all the slops. And I was given the job of dragging it round the back. And as I tied it up, and this bin bag was full of all the throwaway stuff, the stuff that no one wants, I was dragging this bag round the back, and the bag was leaking. And I could see all this gunge leaking. And I thought, wow, that looks disgusting. It's horrible. And as I was dragging, God began to speak to me. And God began to say, Mark, this is like you. You know, you've got all your garbage. You've got all your rubbish. You try not to let it leak and people to see it. But remember that time with those young lads, how it leaked. Remember that time when you hurt someone with your words. Remember that time when you were inappropriate. Remember those times when you had hateful thoughts. And I could see my slops. And I could see that sometimes it leaks. And I was dragging this bag and God was speaking to me and saying, Mark, so much rubbish. And as I was dragging it round to the back of the bins, I says, God, what do I do with my rubbish? What do I do with my mess? What do I do with my stuff? And God spoke to me really clearly and said, you know, I sent my son Jesus. I sent my son Jesus that all of your rubbish, all of your garbage, all your gunge would be pinned on the cross. That horrendous picture of Jesus dying on the cross and all of the slops and Mark Ritchie's mess and gunge and his horror, his jealousy, lust, envy, his gossip, all of it leaking all over the body of Jesus. Because you see, friends, sometimes we've painted the cross of Jesus that Jesus was there in some kind of big white nightie with a perfectly trimmed beard and not really dying on a cross, but just posing for photographs. But the real true Bible story is that Jesus was pinned to the cross. All of our rubbish and garbage was pinned on him. My stuff. My mess. My anger when I shouted at those young lads. My abuse at that young kid on the bike. All of my gunge, all of my rubbish, pinned on Christ on the cross. He took it all. The ugly cross where Jesus takes our garbage. And how about you? What about your stuff? How about the stuff that's in your bag? Maybe it's different from me. Maybe tonight you've been horrified by my story about the lad on the bike. And you've thought, how could you shout at a kid like that? That is disgusting. But yet in your bag, you've got your stuff. And we've all got our stuff. And the Bible says we come and we pin it to Christ on the cross. Jesus takes it all. And I see Jesus dying on the cross. And he cries to heaven because it's ugly. It's disgusting. It's gross. It's all my garbage. All my crap is on Christ on the cross. Jesus took it all. And I dragged this bag and I took it round and I saw this gunge. And I said to God, Father, thank you that you sent Jesus to die for me. That you have taken my rubbish. Because you see, friends, it doesn't finish there. We don't just say tonight, in 2 minutes I'm going to be finished and Jesus took our gunge and we can all go home. Because there's something so much more exciting than that. Something way more exciting than that. You see, that this is the truth. We give Jesus our garbage. See, there's an amazing story that really helps me. And it's the story of this Chinese ship. And basically, it was coming up towards Christmas, and the ship came in, and it was rammed full of these huge 40-foot containers of the goodies and the wonderful stuff for a Christmas in Great Britain. Nintendo Wii's and drum kits and Christmas decorations and the latest doll and the latest toys.
and it was sent all over Great Britain. But before it went back, they rammed it full, these containers of our rubbish and our garbage from our bins were put in these containers, and the ship took them back and they lost them somewhere. Now, I'm not a politician, and it's not my job tonight to get involved in that, but that seems unjust. But this is the swap that happened, that all this wonderful stuff came and the garbage was taken away. And tonight, the wonderful story that I finish with is this, is that we come and we give Jesus our garbage. We give him our slop bag. But he gives us these wonderful gifts of life and joy and hope and peace. He gives us an eternity with God, that forever and ever with God. I give him my slop bag, and Jesus gives me forever and ever with God. He gives me healing. He gives me peace. He gives me kindness and destiny and wholeness. Wow. I was at St. Pancras recently in the train station there, and I saw the baggage drop off. And it said this, enjoy the freedom and enjoy the sights of London. Leave your baggage that you don't need here and go off and enjoy freedom. And I thought, wow, this is what happens at the cross. That we come with our baggage, our garbage. And Jesus says, I've got so much for you to enjoy, so much wonderful stuff. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We come and we, at the cross, we leave our baggage. We leave the stuff that we drag around with us. We leave it at the cross so that we can go and enjoy the freedom. That tonight, I don't know what's happening in your life, friend, but you know what? God's given me the opportunity to speak to you to say, do you know what? Why don't you come and bring your baggage and leave it at the cross? And then you can enjoy the freedom of God. That you can know what it is to be completely free. Know what it is to be free, not dragging stuff around with you, not pulling stuff, but absolutely knowing the freedom of God. I want you to imagine tonight that I've got a gift for everyone. Yeah? But you've got to imagine really great, because I'm Scottish, yeah? And Scotsmen don't give gifts, yeah? But I want you to imagine it tonight. I says, I've got a gift for everyone. And when you go out of this place, in the car park, there's like a Porsche for you. Yeah? I've got a Porsche for everyone. You're like, I'm only 11. I've got a Porsche for you, yeah? And it's like, I've got a Porsche for everyone. And then you can drive at 160 miles an hour, 180 miles an hour. But then I says, but before you go driving, I just need to say one thing to you. And it's simply this, that there's a caravan round the back, and you've got to drag that caravan behind you everywhere you go. I don't mean one of those trendy little ones. I mean one of those really big ones that you get stuck behind, yeah? And you lose your patience and you say words that you have to apologize to your kids about. That's what I'm talking about. Those big, long caravans. You see, this Porsche, designed for speed, designed for amazing things, dragging a caravan behind it. And tonight, God looks at you. He created you and made you for wonderful things. He created and designed you for excellence. And yet many of us, we drag stuff behind us. But the baggage drop off. We drop the bags off. Let me tell you this one last story, and then we're just going to do a couple of little things, and then that's me finished. But Tamsin, my wife and me, we went to Africa a few years ago. We went to Kenya. It was an amazing trip. Our driver was called John. And John laughed exactly like you do. You know cartoons where it goes, ha, 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 he, he. Yeah, that's how John laughed. It was the best laugh in the world. He was like, ha, 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 he, he. I was like, John, I want your laugh. That is amazing. It's brilliant. John drove us everywhere. And then one night we were all sitting around the fire. And John said, who wants to come and get some firewood? And I was like, yeah, pick me, pick me. John says, come on. We got into the truck,
I said, come on, John, let's see how this baby can go. And John, ha, 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 he, he. And we're like driving. He got it into fifth gear. We're screaming along. We get off road. He's spinning it. We're laughing so much. I'm like, John, come on. You can get more out of this baby. He's laughing. I'm laughing. We're screaming along. Then after a few minutes, John, ha, 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 he says, we need to get the firewood. I thought what we were going to do is get some wood and put it in some bags. But nah, not in Africa. It was amazing. John had got a big chain in the back of the truck. And we found this big dead tree. And we got out and John ties the chain around the dead tree. And now we're dragging this tree back to camp. But now the truck, it can hardly go. It, and no matter how much I'm like going, come on, John, the truck. You see, tonight, friend, so many of us, that's exactly what's happening. You know, God's designed us to live a great life, to enjoy the freedom of all the wonderful things he's got, eternity and peace and joy. But for many of us, we've chained up fear, lust, envy. Many of us, we've chained up baggage and stuff that's dragging us back. And tonight, I want us to do something a little bit different. You see, in a moment, I'm simply going to ask us to do this. In a moment, behind every chair, we've got post-it notes. And you see, what we're going to simply do is simply this. I'm going to invite you and encourage you to write some stuff down. Maybe tonight you know what your stuff is. You know what your baggage is. You know all this stuff that's in your heart. I've written, there's one post-it note in there so far, and it's mine. And I know what is on that post-it note. And I'm not proud of it. And I wrote it down. And I wrote my garbage, my mess. But you know, I want to tell you that it's all been paid for. You see, because at the baggage, if you go to that place in St. Pancras, you go to the baggage drop-off. You know, you can't just go into the office and just go in with your bags and just shout to the guy behind the counter, these are my bags, see you later, and run off, yeah? The guy behind the counter, no. Two things need to happen. Number one, needs to be paid for. The baggage needs to be paid for. You only get your baggage sorted if you've paid the price. How can we pay the price of our baggage? How can Mark Ritchie pay the price for all the rubbish and the garbage he's done? And I come before a holy God and I've got my slop bag and I'm like, how can I pay for this? And God says, it's been paid for. Jesus paid for it on the cross. When he died on the cross, he paid for our sins. We go to the counter and it's paid. We don't have to pay for anything. You meet people that are paying for things that they did years ago. They may have had an affair or they messed up or they did something stupid and they're paying for it over and over again. We get to the counter. It says it's been paid for. Jesus paid for it at the cross. We can leave our baggage here. But the second thing is this. If you go to the baggage drop-off, it's been paid for. Here's the second thing. There's a bit you've got to do. You've got to fill some forms in. You've got to fill the forms in. You've got to do the paperwork. And the second bit where the cross is the baggage drop-off, we come. It's been paid for at the cross, but there's a little bit that we need to do, and it's called this. It's saying sorry. There's a big word for it that's called repentance. But what it basically means is, Jesus, I'm sorry for my garbage. I come to the cross and I say, Jesus, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I mess up. I'm sorry that I've got baggage and luggage that I don't need, stuff that holds me back. And I leave it at the cross. And I enjoy the freedom that I can have a relationship with God and I can call him Dad. I can call him Father. And tonight, This is what we're going to do. In a moment, I'm going to pray a prayer. And then I'm going to give people the opportunity that we would grab that post-it note and get your pen, and that you would write something on that post-it note. You know what that is. You know whatever it is, whatever the garbage is, whatever the stuff that you want. You don't need to let anybody see what you're doing, and just write it on the post-it note. And then I'm going to invite us just to fold it up and hold it in our hands, and then we're going to pray. So maybe we should do that now. I don't know if we can just, we're just going to put a song on just quietly playing called Beautiful Exchange, which talks about the cross. But if you can just find that pen that's near you and find that post-it note, I encourage you tonight just to quietly take a moment and for you to write your mess, to write your garbage on that post-it note. Whatever it is that you feel is prompting in your heart. Tremendous sense of God's presence in this place all day. And as we quietly come before God, as we quietly come before the holy, holy God, He meets us in our mess. He meets us in our garbage. I just encourage you now just to fold up that little post-it note in your hand. I sense the presence of God here all day. A loving God who wants to connect with us. And this is what I want us to do. I've got this in my hand, my mess, my garbage, my stuff. And what I'm simply going to do is I'm just going to pray a prayer. And tonight, if you've understood what I'm saying, the baggage drop-off, that we can leave our stuff at the cross and that we can enjoy the freedom of God. That stuff that you've written down, it doesn't need to hold you back anymore, because it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. That we can enjoy the wonderful beauties of everything that God has got for us. Then I'm going to pray a simple prayer. And then this is what we're going to do. Once we've prayed the prayer, I'm going to give us a moment. And then I'm going to ask us to stand up. And I'm going to encourage people to come. And come and put their post-it note into the cross. You know, we're going to be carrying this for 700 miles. And we're going to be collecting. Our next event is in Croydon in a few days. And we're going to be saying exactly the same to them. And we are believing that this cross is going to be full and full and full of all of our mess. The Bible says that Jesus takes away the sin of the world. And it's going to get fuller and fuller of our mess and our garbage. And it's going to get rained on, and it's going to get horrible, and it's going to be gungy. The ugly cross, but it's the most powerful and the most beautiful cross, because it takes our garbage and gives us His freedom. So, I wonder if I can ask you to bow your head in prayer. And this is simply what I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray that, like Jesus, a short prayer that just says sorry for our garbage and our sin and our mess. If tonight you've understood what I've been talking about, I want you to pray the prayer in your heart after me. Don't say it out loud, but say it in your heart. And then after I said amen, I'm going to invite us to stand. And I'm simply going to do this. I'm going to say on three, If you know tonight that you want to come and you want to put your garbage, your mess, your sin in the cross, I'm going to invite you to come. We're going to have this as a few moments where God's presence is very real in this place. I've written a book that I want to give to some people tonight. And we're going to give you opportunity to work out how you can get that book, because we would like people to get a response to find out what this has fully been about tonight. But we want this moment just to be so precious and so special. And all I'm asking you to do tonight is that in a couple of moments when we've prayed this prayer, if you've prayed the prayer, to come forward, to put your note in the cross, and then for us to go back to our seats. It may take a couple of moments. It may be over in a few seconds, but we leave our mess at the cross. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Jesus. Jesus. As every head's bowed and every eye's closed, why don't you pray this prayer in your heart tonight? Jesus, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for my mess. I'm sorry for my sin. Thank you for the cross. Thank you that you take my mess and you give me freedom. Thank you, Jesus, that you paid the price on the cross. I leave my mess at the cross and I receive your freedom in Jesus' name. Amen.